7, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. Now, every Christian ought to run around with a song on their lips.
Amen.
And you ought to have the Word of God nigh in thy mouth. It's good to give praise. It's comely. It's good to sing praises. And if you turn off some of that filthy country and western and some of that abominable rock and roll and quit satisfying your conscience by listening to them 50s oldies stuff and pretending what you're listening to ain't so bad by listening to easy music or easy listening, none of that stuff's spiritual. Even if you can't find anything particularly wrong with it, the thing that's wrong with it, it's not about God. And in the Bible, music was only given for one reason. All instruments are to praise God. All voices are to praise God.
Amen.
See? And so if you listen to anything else, you're making a mistake. You are to listen to Christian music. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And you ought to be quick to give praise. You ought to get the word of the Lord somehow in your conversation.
Amen.
Instead of saying, oh boy, you ought to say, bless God. Amen. Instead of saying, boy, we sure were lucky, you could say, boy, God blessed.
Amen.
Right? I mean, find some way to be a testimony. Get God in all your thoughts. Verse 2, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. Now, that historically, that's so. Nobody can deny the truth of that verse. There's been a worldwide regathering since 1948. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Now, in the 1500s, there was an astronomer who evidently sat up all night one night, ate pizza and drank beer, and he counted all the stars, and according to this great astronomer, there were 1,005. 1,005. There are more galaxies than that. There are billions upon billions of stars. And God knows them all by their names. Now, that doesn't surprise me. He knows all of us saved folks by our name.
Amen.
This is an awesome thought to me. I mean, this just reaches down and just grabs you, you know. God is familiar with the name Robert Hensley. He's not only heard it before, he remembers it. He not only remembers the name, he knows the person. God knows me by my name. The Bible said that he knoweth his sheep and he calleth them by name. Isn't that a blessing? The God that keeps track of the hairs on your head and the stars in the sky knows you by name. Now, I can meet you 100 times and not remember your name. I do more or less remember your face. I have 3 kinds of people that I run into. High blip, no blip, and blip. That means that when I see you, there is something outstanding about you. I mean, either you're grotesquely ugly or totally obnoxious, and I just erase you off my radar screen. Or there is nothing outstanding about you whatsoever, and it's as though you don't exist. Or you show up on the radar because there's something outstanding about you that captures my eye or my imagination. Now, don't look at me funny. Most of y'all do people exactly the same way. You pigeonhole folks when you meet them. Amen. People say, well, you can't always trust in first impressions. I don't know. Mine are right about 99% of the time.
Richard, you missed verse 3.
Yeah, I know. I'm not going to preach there anyway. I'm preaching on verse 4. Thank you, though. I don't know what I was saying. Y'all got me sidetracked. God can remember our name and our features and all the things about us. And God blips nobody.
Amen.
Isn't that a blessing? Everybody that comes to Him through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, He knows them. He doesn't just know about them, He knows them.
Amen.
And He can call your name. I forget your name, I forget your face, you forget mine. But God never forgets us. He writes your name right down the palm of His hands, what it said.
Amen.
So how can He do that? Well, He's got big old hands. Besides that, the number of names is limited. Amen. You say, well, what about all them Frenchmen and all them Germans and all them Italians? Well, they all got the same name you got. So your name is Peter, and his name is Pierre. It's the same word. Amen. You got it? I mean, there are only X number of names. God's got them all written down. And He says, well, let's see, that's 5,699 times we used that one. The thing is, He knows every one of you differently.
Amen.
I'm glad God knows. Now, it said, He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them by their names. I want to talk to you tonight for a few minutes about stars. Let's study astronomy for a little while. I don't know about you, I've always enjoyed astronomy. Years and years and years and years ago, I went down to the library. When I first got saved, I found out that stars were in the Bible. And I like that stuff. Now, please bear in mind that astronomy and astrology are not the same thing. Astronomy has to do with the suns and the moons and the planets and their position and their size and their color and their orbits and those kind of things. Astrology has to do with using the alignment of those stars and those planets to forecast the future. That's an occult practice, and that is forbidden in the Bible. Astronomy is not forbidden, but astrology is. If you're one of them people that pick up the daily newspaper, and right over there beside Dr. Gott or whoever it is, they've got the horoscope for the day. You know, the 12 signs of the zodiac, and you look down there and find out you're a Sagittarius or whoever. Don't do that. That's forbidden. And don't go down to that little lady down there on Saluda Street that reads palms. That's a cult.
Amen.
All that stuff's forbidden. And don't go to those folks who can forecast your future and all that stuff based on the stars. One, it's mumbo jumbo. Two, it's forbidden by the Bible.
Amen.
But astronomy is a legitimate science, and we can look at it. And God has a tremendous amount of information about the stars in the Bible. Now, I started saying, when I first got saved, I found out the stars were in there, and astronomy was a legitimate pursuit. And so I read up on it some. I went down to the library, and I got a thing called the Field Guide to the Stars. If you ever want to read anything boring, get that. If you need to go to sleep and counting sheep don't work, go down and get a layman's field guide to the stars. The only thing I ever read more boring than that was Josephus' unabridged history of the Jewish nation. They are both guaranteed to put you to sleep. But I read it. And I read a whole bunch of others. I like reading about the stars and the planets. I like reading about they got what they call a blue binary. And then they have white dwarfs. Then they have pulsars. Then there's just a whole host of different size stars. And then they found out some of them stars were really galaxies. And then they found out some of the pulsars were actually two stars that, even though they're billions of miles away, they're so far away this way that the distance between them this way looks like they're right side by side. And when one pulses, it looks like they're doing like this. And they call them pulsars. all kind of interesting stuff. And of course, then you read about the black holes and the wormholes and a lot of that you got to take with a grain of salt. You know, I just them guys that talk about them black holes, nobody ever found one. Amen. Now they lost a couple of guys out there and never came back, but maybe they went in one. I don't know. But you can't find a picture of a wormhole or a black hole out there in space. That's called theoretical astronomy. Anyway, it's an interesting field, and I like looking at it. But I got to looking in the Bible, and there's some interesting things about stars of a very practical nature that we can learn from them here in our Bible. And so tonight I want to give you some 12 things about stars that we can parallel to our Christian existence and our Christian life. Amen. God never puts anything in the Bible that you can't get a spiritual lesson out of. Now, it may have a historical significance. It may have a prophetic significance. It may be a scientific or a factual significance. But there's always a lesson you can learn to help you be a better person or to encourage you in the things of God. The Bible is an amazing, amazing book. So let me give you these 12 things and we can go home and eat our strawberry cobbler. Number one, the stars are made, or they're created. They did not always exist. They have not always been there. They had a beginning, and they will have an end. Stars are created beings in Genesis, or creatures. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible said, He made the stars also. God made them. They haven't always been there. You say, well, how in the world can that compare to us or being a Christian? Well, Ephesians chapter 10, or chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible said that you're a new creature created in Christ Jesus. Just as surely as God made the stars in glory, when you got saved, God created you. He created you brand new. Amen. I'm glad of that. I wasn't particularly pleased with the old fella. He was wicked and vile and wretched. He was a rebel. He was everything he shouldn't have been. He was covered in sins. He was dead in trespasses. He was on his way to hell. And one night I trusted Jesus Christ at 25 minutes after 11, and Jesus Christ created me brand new. I got a brand new shot at it that night. I got a brand new start. Old things passed away, and behold, all things become new. I was a new creature created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God had before ordained that we should walk in Him. Aren't you glad that you got created in Christ Jesus? Then, I like this. You know, the stars had that birth. They were created. You had that new birth. You were created in Christ. Then, all the stars are sealed. In Job chapter 9 and verse 7, the Bible said, He sealeth up the stars. There aren't any more coming along. There aren't any leaving. I don't know about all those event horizons they're talking about and supernovas and all that stuff. All that stuff's interesting, but I don't know how much that's real and how much is not. I know this, God's got the number of the stars sealed up. And He's got the duration or the life expectancy of the stars are sealed up. God knows their beginning and their end. And nobody's going to mess with that and nobody's going to change that. You know why that's interesting to me? Because in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, the Bible said that you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Just like the stars, I'm sealed. Ain't nobody going to mess with it. Ain't nobody going to change it. It's fixed. When God saved me, He sealed me. And no matter what you think or don't think, I'm going to make it home to glory. I had a fellow stand up in the service on a ship one time. He said, I don't even know how God can let you preach. And he said, I don't believe you're saved. Well, I guess because I was mean or something. I don't know what he was upset about. I can't remember. But it doesn't make any difference. I don't care what he thinks. I'm a child of the King anyway. And I'm sealed up. And I'm going to make it home to glory if anybody does. If you get there, you're going to find me there. You say, well, I don't like you. Well, you better learn to get along with me or change your mind and don't go. I'm on my way, son. If you're saved, you're sealed. Ain't that a blessing? I know all them charismatics running around. They got it. They don't got it. They got it. They don't. I just got it. I got it. And it nothing going to change it. It's fixed. Number three, not only are the stars made and they're sealed, they are exalted. In Job chapter 22, verse 12, the Bible said, behold the height of the stars. Now, it's almost impossible to know how big the universe is according to science. Because every time you turn around, they're changing their estimate. The honest truth is, they don't have a clue. How you can look at light through a radio telescope and run it through a spectrograph and determine that it's been in flight for 30,000 light years is a mystery to me. How do you know that? How do you figure that out? I'm waiting. They just talk off the top of their head. They have no idea. Matter of fact, I subscribe to a thing called the Triconian Society, which is an astrological society. They study the stars, and it's made up of mathematicians and that kind of stuff, and a bunch of them real wackos, and if you look at their numbers and stuff, they're way over our head. I don't understand about half of what they're writing out there in formulas, but I do understand what they put in words, see? And when they'll slow down long enough to translate their formula into plain English, I can kind of pick up on it. And here's the gist of the thing. They're not at all sure that the earth is not the center of the universe. And that the universe revolves around the earth. And that the sun and the moon revolves around the earth. And they can demonstrate mathematically that the same math that is shown, used to show that the earth revolves around the sun, the same math can be used to show that the sun revolves around the earth. Pretty interesting. It could be one way or the other, according to science. Now they teach you that we revolve around the sun. That's because they got they're mad at God, see? According to God, the earth is the middle, and everything revolves around it. Amen. You say, well, if you're scientific, you believe, well, I don't know about that anymore. I ain't so sure of that anymore. The universe might be geocentric instead of what they call heliocentric. Wouldn't that be a gasser, boy, if they found out after all this time and all these lies that the center of the universe was the earth and the sun, the moon, and the stars revolved around it? Wouldn't that be a blast? Well, it might be. I don't know why I got off on that. Anyway, I was talking about the height or the stars being exalted. They say they're 30,000 light years away. Now, you can't even begin to imagine how far that is. It takes light 8 minutes to get from here to the sun. And that's at 186,000 miles per second. That is really, 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 really quick. Now, if light travels 186,000 miles per second, and it travels for a year. 60 seconds to a minute, 60 minutes to an hour, 24 hours to a day, 365 and a quarter days to a year. How far do it go? It's literally trillions of miles. Now they say that this light has been traveling not 3 light years, not 30 light years, not 300 light years, not even 3,000 light years. They say that light's been traveling for 30,000 light years. Do you have any idea how far away that is? Some of y'all just looking at me like, What I'm trying to tell you, boy, when you look up at the stars, if you believe science, some of them are really up there. You talk about exalted, I mean, they up. But they ain't got nothing on me. You know why? Because the Bible said over there in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, He hath made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know where I'm at? I'm with Christ in heavenly places spiritually. Say, where's that at? That's above all the stars. That's above all. I don't care whether it's 3 light years, 3,000 light years, 30,000 light years. It doesn't make any difference to me whatsoever. When you run out of space and you run out of numbers, you say, what do you run into? You run into God. The Bible said that Christ had been exalted high above all heavens. So when them cosmonauts run out of stars and stuff, the next thing you find up there is God. Amen? So where are you at? I'm up there with Him in Christ. In Christ, I've been made to sit with Him in heavenly places. If you're saved by God's grace, you are an exalted human being. You ought to act exalted. You ought to live exalted.
Amen.
Number four, the stars are not pure. In Job chapter 25 and verse 5, the Bible said, the stars are not pure in His sight. Now, if you know anything about light and that kind of stuff, and I don't know whether you do or not, I don't know what y'all read. I never read newspapers. I don't ever read the funny paper. I don't ever read the sports page. That stuff doesn't interest me. I could care less one way or the other. Somebody said, you see what was in the paper today? I didn't. They said, you ever watch the evening news? I don't. I sometimes watch the weather report if I'm wanting to play golf the next day. I'm terribly ignorant of all the current events. They bore me to tears. I'm not interested. It's the same old story. They just change the names from day to day. It's just nonsense. It don't amount to nothing. Amen. Today's news, tomorrow's news, yesterday's news, all the same stuff. I don't know why anybody messes with it at all. Amen. And some of y'all think that's why he's so weird. You don't know the half of it. I said, the stars are not pure. I forgot where I was going. Can I remember what I was talking about? I know what they're not. Oh, I know what it was. We was talking about what you know about light. Light is not pure. Everybody looks up in the night sky and they say, oh, I saw a little star up there, you know, and they went, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are, high above, all that nonsense. And they say, it was pure white, or it was just such a beautiful, crystal clear blue and all that. Not really. All the light come from them stars is dirty. Now, if you want clean light, you have to get a laser. And that really is what a laser is what's called coherent light. That is, that's where they get all the other different frequencies and all the dirt and all the junk out. And they get one frequency of light and they amplify it and magnify it and all that. And that's what gets the job done. Amen? You've got to get all the dirt out of it. You've got to clean it up. So why? Because light, like everything else in the universe, all by itself in its natural state, is dirty. It's not pure. The stars are not pure. So what's that got to do with us? Well, I like this. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in. You know what? You're not pure either. You're dirty. You know where you're dirty at? You're dirty on the inside. The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And the very idea of some sinful, fallen creature running around talking about they're a good man or they're a good woman. Now, maybe comparatively, that is, in relation to another sinner, you're okay. But in an absolute sense, you're just wicked as hell itself. Amen? And you may be like them stars. You look up the star and you say, oh, they're so pure, they're so beautiful. Somebody that don't know you might think that about you, but they get to know you, they find out you've got a pretty wicked heart, and you ain't so pure after all. Amen? Don't tell me we're not like the stars. We are. Then how about this? The stars are ordained by God. In Psalm chapter 8 and verse 3, the Bible said, "The stars which thou hast ordained." They're there because God put them there. They're there because God wanted them there. If God hadn't wanted them, if God hadn't created them, if God hadn't made them, if God hadn't put them in place, they wouldn't be there. They are ordained by God. Ain't that a blessing? Now I say, well, how in the world is that? All right, let me show you. In John chapter 15, the Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 16, the Bible said, "I have chosen you and ordained you." Now I don't understand all I know about that verse. I'm kind of like that fellow that said he's already said more than he knows. I don't understand everything about that verse, but I know this. God called us. Now, why God looked down and called some, I have no idea in this world. For example, if I were in God's stead, now I'm not, but if I were, I don't think I'd have messed with Tommy Stewart. I just don't think I'd have done. You just wouldn't have got a call, son. Your wife said, "Well, you're sitting there waiting on Tommy." She said, "Well, I'm waiting on a call." And she said, "They ain't coming." And she'd have been right. But God, for His own reasons, in ways you and I cannot explain, calls. I don't understand all that. I'm not a Calvinist by any stretch of the imagination. And I'm not going over there either. Amen. That's a weird bunch of dudes. But just because I'm not a Calvinist doesn't mean I understand everything God. I don't. And how God chooses and how God works sometimes is a great mystery. But I know this. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man comes to Christ except the Spirit draw him. I don't know how all that works. I don't know how God makes the selection. But He does. He does. Ain't it a wonderful thing? I'm glad He called me, buddy. I'm glad I heard it. I'm glad I got in. I'm glad I'm like the stars. I've been ordained. I've been called by God. Not only that, the stars are to rule. In Psalm 136 and verse 9, the Bible said, "The stars rule by night." Now, the sun rules by day, but the stars rule by night. Amen? Now, you're in a dispensation called nighttime. You're in the nighttime of this world. We're just waiting on the dawn. We're waiting for the day star to arise. Amen? And so, the stars are to rule. Well, look at this. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 26, the Bible said, "He that overcometh, him will I give power over the nation, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron." You know what the saved of this age are going to do? They're going to rule in eternity. We're like stars. Matter of fact, I call this message, "I want to be a star someday." Now, I don't want to be a Hollywood star. Amen. Now, you got to be queer or whore.
Amen.
Now, and I didn't say that, even though I certainly do agree with it. I heard a fellow from Hollywood. They were doing him an interview, and somebody asked him, what was the underlying rule for success in Hollywood? How do you get past all the rigmarole? How do you get noticed? How do you get your name in there? How do you get through the thousands of other people who are trying to get in the same spot you're trying to get? He said, what is the secret to getting through and making it in Hollywood? Here's what the guy said. I didn't say it. He said, you either have to be a homosexual or you have to sleep with the producers and the directors. That is, you got to be a whore or a queer. Amen. All them folks out there in Hollywood you look up to, 99% of them are queer or whores. I don't want money that bad. I don't want fame or popularity that bad. to have to sell yourself out, give up your convictions, defile your body in order to succeed. I don't want to be famous. I don't want to be a star in that sense. If I want to be a star someday, I want to shine up in the firmament of heaven. Amen. Now you do that by trusting Jesus Christ. Not only that, the stars are numbered. In Psalm 147, verse 4, the Bible said He calleth stars, 147, 4, He telleth the number of the stars. Now, I don't know how many's out there. I know it's more than 1,005. I'm not worried about numbering them. Why do something that's already been done? I don't worry about, you know, they say, you know, you can send in this $50 and you can purchase a star and they'll put your girlfriend's name on it or your, whatever it is, and they'll enter it in the International Star Registry. Now, I don't know who acknowledges that and certifies that. You know, I don't know. It looks like somebody's making $50 to me. Well, they probably only make $48 because they got the pay for that parchment and mail it back to you. But other than that, it's just pure profit. Amen. I don't know who all does that or how that's done, but you can buy a star and get your name on it. I want mine put up there for real. Amen. I don't know how many stars, but there's a finite number of stars, and God knows every one of them and has them all numbered. Now, that's a blessing to me, because in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, the Bible said, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Jesus knows me. Now, listen, buddy, I live my life in good company. You realize if you're saved, you get to walk with the Lord? People get all upset and fall all over themselves and have a hissy fit to get to walk with somebody like Bill Clinton. Well, I don't know why you'd want to walk with that pervert. The old fat, sloppy thing, can't control himself. Amen. Don't even know how to define is. And every day of your life, you can walk with the Lord. Matter of fact, if you're saved, you walk with Him whether you want to or not. And most of the time, we never acknowledge His presence, never enjoy His companionship, never fellowship with Him. And God only knows some of the places we've taken Him. Amen. Not only are they numbered, they're called. In Psalm 147:4, He calleth them all by their name. John 10:3 said, He knoweth His own sheep, and He calleth them by name. How would you like to be on first name basis with some big shot? I was watching Greg Norman play golf today. Now, Greg Norman was one of my favorite golfers. I just loved watching him play. And he had some surgery and stuff, and he doesn't seem to have the same focus, the same intensity. It wasn't as much fun to watch him play now as it used to be. He's just, I guess it's the process of getting old. You know, I'm not being ugly about him. He's just not as focused. He don't play the same game he used to play. But I'd still like to play with him. And it would be a great honor to play golf with Greg Norman and be out there playing, and he'd say, Bob, now what you need to do? Oh, that'd be cool. You know, I would like to do that. And if he invites me, I'm going. Now, there's not much chance of it, but if it happens, I want you to know where I'm at that Sunday. Yet God calls me by my name all the time. The Lord of glory, the Creator of heaven and earth, knows my name. And it says He calls them by His name. When the Lord speaks to you in the wee hours of the morning, when you've been praying and you got something on your heart and God begins to deal with you,
He don't say, hey, you.
Amen.
He said, now, Lewis, listen. He said, what? Lewis, who is that? Lewis, it's me. Me who? Lewis is not real bright, you know what I mean? He's kind of a slow learner. And finally, Lewis said, Lord, that's you? He said, yeah, knucklehead, I've been calling you for 20 minutes. I'm sorry, Lord, I didn't recognize your voice. Calls me by name. But you talk about an honor. You talk about a thrill. You talk about a joy for the God of glory to call me by name. Then in Psalm 148 and verse 3, the stars were created to praise Him. The Bible said in Psalm 148 verse 3, praise Him, all ye stars of light. You know what all them things up there are doing? They're praising God. They're giving glory to God. They're acknowledging their Creator. They acknowledge the one that created them and placed them and the one that sustains them and the one that knows them by name and knows where they're at and can come and find them at any time and any place. The stars praise God. Now, if you were saved, you know what you're created for? You know why God saved you? You say, well, He just saved me to keep me out of hell. No, that's a side benefit for you, but that's not why He did it. The Bible said in Psalm 149, verse 9, praise Him, all ye His saints.
Amen.
You're saved to praise God. And when you sit there Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday and Sunday morning and Sunday night and never lift your voice and never give Him praise and never exalt His name and never say glory to God and never brag on Him and never testify to His goodness, you are not fulfilling the purpose for which He left you here. You are to praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. If anybody else had been as good to you as God been, you'd be praising Him all over the countryside. Amen. And here God's done things for you nobody else in the whole wide world could do, and you're ashamed and embarrassed to tell anybody. Isn't that a tragedy? I heard a woman the other day in an advertisement talking about how good certain insurance company had been. I think it was Blue Cross Blue Shield. Their little boy had some kind of weird cancer or something, and they sent him off to some special university and this, that, and the other. And this woman was just singing the praises of this insurance company and how good they had been. I thought, lady, how in the world can you take money to make that advertisement and brag on that insurance company and look at that little boy that is still alive and now healthy and not realize if God hadn't blessed, if God hadn't given grace, if God hadn't reached down and worked and done something supernatural, nothing those doctors could have done would have been of any avail. That little boy would have been dead if God hadn't blessed. And she gave all the credit to the doctors and the insurance company. Don't make that mistake, buddy. I'm saying something good happens in your life. You thank God for it.
Amen.
Now, God may have used the insurance company. God may have used the doctors. I don't know what God used. But whatever it was, it's secondary to God.
Amen.
You're praising. God, help me not to be guilty giving your honor and your glory to some man or some group of men. No, sir. Not only that, stars are to be light givers. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 35, the Bible said, the stars are for a light by night. Now, you'd like here on a night when the stars aren't visible. And by the way, they're always there whether you can see them or not. Amen. It's like a lot of Christians, they're there, you just can't see them. They're incognito. They're in hiding. Secret, yeah, Lord's Secret Service. They're all CIA agents, you know. Anyway, excuse me. Now, stars are to give light. And you get out there at night on a good clear night, the stars will light up the sky. You can see pretty good at night without a full moon if there's not any cloud cover. And not only that, those stars give light, but they give light in the sense that they give information. You can glean direction from the stars. They can not only give you light in the sense that they enable you to see, they give you light in the sense that they give you understanding of certain things, that you can find longitude and latitude based on the stars in relation to your position on the earth. You can do all kinds of things with the stars. They're light givers. They're there to help us. We can use them. Now, we can't use occult practices. Let me go over that one more time. No astrology. Nothing associated with astrology. But astronomy is a science, and that's legitimate. Now, and we can get all kind of light, we get all kind of wisdom, we get all kind of information from the stars. And you're supposed to be like those stars. You know what you're supposed to do? If you're saved by God's grace and washed in the blood of the Lamb, the Bible said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, ye are the light of the world. And just like those stars, we're supposed to shine. We're supposed to shine. The world is in the darkness of sin and ignorance. They're without God and without understanding. And it's up to people like you and I, washed in the blood of the Lamb, to give them light. They ought to be able to see Christ in me. They ought to be able to see Christ in you. They ought to be able to see that you're redeemed and regenerated by the way you live your life, the way you conduct your business, the way you behave yourself. They ought to be able to see. I'm afraid too many of us have turned the light out. What's that hotel chain that says, the lowest price room of any national recognized chain, come on by, we'll leave the light on for you. Tom Burdett, whatever his name is. Motel 6. Don't go there. Now, I'm a Hampton Inn kind of guy, son. I don't care if you can get a Motel 6 for $38. I spent $100 at Stead Hampton Inn anyhow. Amen? I just like them. They're clean and have a good breakfast. I don't even call them other hotels. The bottom of the line, as far as I'm concerned, is Hampton Inn. Anyway, that's my plug for Hampton Inn. I get $25 every time I do that. Supposed to be light. Your life is not supposed to be darkness. You know, if you live your life so that folks don't know that you're a Christian and they can't see that you've been changed, that you've been regenerated, that you're a new kind of a creature, then you're darkness. You're muddy in the waters. You're confused in the line. There ought to be a point of demarcation. They ought to be able to look at unsaved people and see one kind of a life. They ought to be able to look at saved people and see another kind of life. Over here they ought to see darkness, and over here they ought to see light. Not only that, all the stars are different. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 41, one star differeth from another star in glory. You know, one of the great lessons I've learned is that everything in this universe is different. And the reason that's such a blessing is because the whole wide world is trying to tell you everything's the same. You know, all the races are the same. The sexes are the same. You've got to be mentally degenerate to believe that. You've got to be out of your mind. Anybody that thinks boys and girls are the same never looked at an anatomy chart. Amen. Anybody that believes all people are the same never paid much attention. There ain't no two people in this room the same. You say, well, I know our fingerprints aren't the same and our DNA is not the same. Sweetheart, there ain't nothing about you the same. Said, well, we all got two legs and two eyes, and it's okay. So does every table and every chair in the world. Big deal. But buddy, I'm telling you what, it stops being the same with those basic similarities. We can tell one person's blood from another. We can tell one person's hair from another. You can tell one person's skin from another. Everybody in this room is different. Not only are your fingerprints different, your eye print is different. If they scan it, mine won't be like yours. My DNA won't be like yours. If they check out our brain power, somebody in this room, and I wouldn't point any fingers, is smarter than everybody else in this room. And somebody in this room, I wouldn't point any fingers, is dumber than everybody else in this room. And everybody else in this room is somewhere in between. Somebody in this room is the heaviest person in this room. Somebody's the lightest. Somebody's the whitest. Somebody's the dark. We're not the same. There ain't nothing about us the same. You think because there's a few superficial similarities, we're all the same. We're not all the same. We're all different. All the stars are different. And not only that, bless God, all the Christians are different. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 12:4, diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Then you go to these churches where they want everybody to be little clones of each other. We're not supposed to be little clones of each other. We're supposed to be individuals. Amen? Why we want everybody to be just like us, think just like us, and I don't understand that. Now, I understand that there are some basic things that ought to be the same. We call those the fundamentals of faith. There's certain things we ought to believe. There's certain things we ought to do. But Louis Steele cannot be Bob Ensley. It's an impossibility. I'm so much better looking. My wife said so, and I know it's true. We're different. But that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Who in God's name wants two of me? See? But because I think one way, and I see things with a shade of difference, and he sees it another way and sees a shade of difference from that, it keeps us from being stagnant. That's what keeps us alive. That's what keeps us moving. That's what keeps us... Those differences keep us from becoming nothing. We ought to maximize that and utilize that rather than criticize it and downplay it within proper boundaries. That's the way it ought to be done. Amen. Every Christian ought to be different. Learn to be yourself. Just be a godly yourself. Be a Christian yourself. Give yourself to God. Give your life and your time and your energy and your mind to God. And then do everything you can for Him. Don't try to be like somebody else. Don't copy somebody else. Be yourself. And then give it all you've got to be the best you can be. Because you can't be like the other fellow anyway. Every star was different. But every star is necessary. Every star had a name and every star had a place, and God knew where they were all at. Amen. Then, last but not least, all the stars are held. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, He had in His right hand seven stars. Got it right there. So how big is God? I don't know. But He's big enough to put all the stars in His hand. So I can't fathom that. There's a lot of stuff I can't fathom. I can't fathom homosexuals. I can't fathom mothers murdering their babies in their own belly. I can't fathom people bringing babies into this world and abandoning them. There's all kinds of stuff I can't figure out. I never got to how big the universe. That's way above my head. There's stuff down here I can't figure out. Amen. Amen. The Bible said it, so I just believe it. You know why that's wonderful, though? Because in John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28, it said, we're in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck them out of the Father's hand.
just like he can hold the stars in his hand, he's got all the saints in this one. You know where I'm at? I'm in his hand. So what does that mean? That means I'm protected. I'm noticed. You know, I know what's in my hand. I know what's in there. I can see it. You ever notice you can get a tiny grain of sand on your hand and you can feel it. You brush that thing off. My hand is very sensitive. I know all kind of stuff. I can recognize all kind of things just by the touch through my hand. And I'm in God's hand. That means I'm in touch with Him and He's in touch with me. And no man can pluck me out of that hand. In here I'm safe. In here I'm secure. In here I'm protected. In here I'm known. In here I'm loved. In here I'm in touch. I like being in His hand. Did you ever notice that the first step in courtship and romance almost always starts with holding hands? Now, I'm here to tell you, fella. Now, listen to me. I'm an old dog, but I know some things. And I know this. Ain't no girl ever going to kiss you until you first held her hand. You got to work your way up the ladder. Somebody say amen. Yeah. You ever see folks, you know, they start courting and all. First, they just talking and they're just friendly. And the first thing you know, they're holding hands, sometimes just by the fingertips. And then after a while, he gets bolder. And he's got her whole hand. And maybe a date or two, and that's all they do is hold hands. But he's got ulterior motives.
Yes.
He's waiting for that hand to get tired and wanting him to move over somewhere else. And the next thing is a kiss. Want that goodnight kiss. Romance started right here. Normally the first contact you have with the person you love was right there. You know where I'm at? I'm in His hand. I'm right there. It just don't get much better than that. Amen? Now listen to me. Me and God are not holding hands. I'm in His hand. He's holding mine. People say, well, I'm holding on. I ain't holding on to nothing.
Amen.
Son, there's a world difference between holding on and being held. I'm being held. I'm just kind of like them stars. Amen. All right, let's bow our head. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. Pray that You'd...